You're listening to Messages of Grace. Grace Baptist Church Kelowna exists to bring glory to God through lives transformed by the gospel, as we follow Jesus together as his disciples, family, servants, and witnesses. Now for today's message.
Well, good morning. It's good to be together on this Thanksgiving Sunday. And I would think we love Thanksgiving weekends. I do. I am sorry I shouldn't be teasing you like this with a picture like that. Make your mouth water this morning while you're still going to be sitting here for quite some time before you get to go home for dinner. But this has to be one of my favorite holidays of the year. And yes, I love turkey and cranberry sauce and mashed potatoes and gravy and pie, and that's going to be on the menu for later today at our house. But, beyond Thanksgiving dinner, I find this is the most, one of those holidays that jolts us out of our despondency. It kind of gets us out of any sort of downheartedness, as Thanksgiving reminds us that we've got it pretty good, don't we? We do have it pretty good. We are blessed. Wouldn't you say? We are blessed. And on Thanksgiving every year, we are reminded that our blessings originate not in our own achievements. Our blessings are not a result of our own efforts, but ultimately they find their source in the Lord our God, as we already sang, "Come thou fount of every blessing." He is the fount of every blessing that we have. And James affirms that in James 1:17, where it says, every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights to us. And so I think we can say we've been blessed with many gifts. I want to ask you this morning, like, what do you think about when you come to such a holiday as this one, Thanksgiving, when you count your blessings? What do you count? What do you think about? You know, I've already revealed that turkey dinner is somewhat on my personal Thanksgiving list, but there are countless other blessings, aren't there, that we can point to. Maybe you're grateful today for your spouse, for your family, even for your church family, group like this that leads us in worship on a Sunday, for friends, for your health, for the absence of war in our country, for freedom of religion. Maybe you're thankful for your job, for money in the bank, for clothes in your closet, for a roof over your head, for food in the fridge, for indoor plumbing, for a spell check on your phone. The list could be endless, couldn't it? I mean, there really is no ending to all the things that we can be thankful for on a day like today. But I want us to realize one thing this morning. I want us to realize that all of these blessings that I've just listed are unstable. They are impermanent. They are volatile. They can fail. Any of these blessings can evaporate overnight. They can be dissolved. Your health can fail, your job can be lost, our freedoms can be taken from us. War, hyperinflation, pandemics, natural disasters can drastically change our lives. Friends leave, people in our family can pass. And so I ask, is there anything? Is there anything at all? Are there any blessings that are enduring, blessings that don't change? Are there permanent blessings that no one can take away from us?
Yes. The grace of God.
That's a good one, Norm. Keep going. There's a whole list, isn't there? But there are. There are blessings that are unchanging. There are blessings that are immutable. They are interminable. And shouldn't we, on a day like today, focus on those blessings first and foremost? I love my turkey dinner, don't get me wrong. But there are blessings that are that are far, far greater, that should make it to the top of our Thanksgiving lists instead of those blessings that are impermanent. The Old Testament prophet Habakkuk makes an interesting point when he finds reason to give thanks in spite of the loss of all the common kind of Thanksgiving blessings that we normally point to. And he says this in chapter 3, 17 through 18, says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in what? I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Would we be able to say, I will rejoice in the Lord this Thanksgiving if there were no food in our fridge? No job to go to, no money in the bank, sickness instead of health, enemies instead of friends, enslavement instead of freedoms. And how is this even possible? How is it possible for Habakkuk to be saying this when it seems like nothing was really panning out, physically speaking, materially speaking? And that's the question we need to answer this morning. But before we dive deeper into this, let's bow for prayer. Let's just bow for prayer at this time. Lord God, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, I pray that you would open our eyes to the greater blessings, to the enduring blessings that make all of our material and physical and relational blessings pale in comparison. And may these greater blessings described to us in your word, may they become to us our paramount motive, our preeminent cause for joy in our lives and for Thanksgiving today and every day. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Zef Schluter wrote a song earlier this year called Counting My Blessings. And I wonder if you may relate to these words. The song goes like this: God, I'm still counting my blessings, all that you've done in my life. The more I look in the details, the more of your goodness I find. Father, on this side of heaven, I know that I'll run out of time, but I will keep counting my blessings, knowing I can't count that high. One, two, three, up to infinity. I'd run out of numbers before I could thank you for everything. We don't have the time this morning to count all of God's blessings, but let's look at more of his goodness as we turn to a partial list this morning. I want to stress it's partial. It's not a complete list, but a partial list of permanent blessings that go far beyond describing our material or physical blessings. And we find this list in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to just kind of fly through chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. And know up front that we're only going to kind of take a bird's eye view. We're only going to be scratching the surface this morning, because every one of these blessings that we see here, we could be spending a Sunday on each easily and more, and we won't have the time to do that today. But this is where we're going this morning, Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 14. If you have your Bibles, you may want to turn there. There are pew Bibles as well that you can grab in front of you. You know, maybe you remember this. It was a Scotiabank commercial. They used the slogan over and over again, you're richer than you think. Remember that? Have you heard that commercial? You're richer than you think. Now, I personally have some questions about the universal assertion of the statement and if that really is true for everybody. But it certainly applies to the children of God, doesn't it? It applies to those who are part of God's family. We are far richer than we think. So let's look at what we have in Jesus as we run through these verses this morning. Verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every, not material blessing, but every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And here we have an introduction to these exclusive spiritual blessings that stand in contrast to the physical or material blessings that we often think about. And these blessings here are found in Jesus Christ. They are found in Jesus, and they cannot be attained in any other way but through Jesus. These blessings are, also it says here, they are in the heavenly places. Why is that? Well, because they are permanent blessings. For one, everything that is found in earthly places expires, doesn't it? Only that which is heavenly endures. It's forever. And this then reminds us that earth is not our permanent home. Our greatest blessings, they come from heaven and are also kept in heaven for us. That is where our citizenship is, Philippians chapter 3:20. That's where our name is written, Luke chapter 10, verse 20. That is where our inheritance is kept for us, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. But know that these spiritual blessings have tremendous applications, not just for our eternal future, but they have application or implications for our lives here and now. And yet at the same time, though we are not with the Lord in heaven yet, God, who resides outside of time and outside of space, so counts us already as being there that Paul can say we have these blessings because we're already seated in heaven with him. So here's the first spiritual blessing that I want you to see. You find it in verse 4. Verse 4 of Ephesians 1 says, even as he chose us in him, that's in Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Do you realize that you are not an accident? You are not an accident. You are not a product of random selection. God created you for a purpose. You are valuable. You are designed by God. You were planned before the beginning of time, and God chose you. That's what it says here. God chose you. God chose you before you chose him. And this unspeakable blessing carries a great responsibility for us because he chose us for a purpose, not to make money, not to chase our appetites, not to build our little kingdoms here on earth, but so that you should live a life that reflects the character of God. That you reflect the values of God to those people around you. That you might live a holy life, a blameless life before him, it says. Because he chose you. Isn't that incredible? He chose, let that sink in for a minute. And when it comes to this blessing, we really can say we are richer than we think. We're far richer than we think as we receive this blessing that we are chosen by him. The next blessing, verse 5, in love, it says here, in love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in his beloved. The word predestined here means foreknowledge, or it means to ordain beforehand. Or in this case, it's really has this meaning of being foreloved. God already loved us before we were ever created. He foreloved you long before you could ever respond to him by loving him. He chose you to love. And this has confused many people who have been reading these passages, and we ask the question, how can this even be? What have I done to deserve the blessing that God has placed his affection upon me? How have I even deserved that? And we can keep looking within our own bankrupt hearts for some good reason why in the world God might want to love me and choose me. But that's always going to end up in a dead-end street because we don't deserve it. We can't fully explain it, but we know this, we don't deserve it. All we know is that this is by God's grace, His choosing us, His loving us, His inviting us is by God's grace. That God should love us and set His affection on us is not of us, it is of God. And as those who are loved by God, we are adopted, it says here. We are adopted as His sons, that is, as His daughters, taken into His family. Again, it is through Jesus. That is the only way in which we join the family of God. It has to be. Jesus is the only way. It is through Jesus who reconciled us to God our Father through His sacrifice on the cross, where He took all of our sins, and in exchange, He transferred to us His perfect righteousness. We were unrighteous. We had no righteousness of our own. We were dead in sins and trespasses, Paul says. And so it was the Lord Jesus, while He hung on the cross, He took all of our unrighteousness upon Himself, and He in exchange gave His righteousness, His perfect righteousness to us, which then God credited to our bankrupt account. All of which was in accordance, it says here, with the purpose of God's will to the praise of His glorious grace. Grace, God's unmerited favor with which He has blessed us in the Beloved, with which He has blessed us in Christ. And it's so true. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. We cannot earn it. Our performance doesn't warrant any of these spiritual blessings that we find in God's Word. We attribute them all to the grace of God. All to the grace of God. And it's so true, you are richer than you think. The next one we find in verse 7. It says here, in Him, in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood. The term redeem comes from the slave market, where there was a provision for slaves as to how to free them. And redeeming in that context meant to purchase and to set free by paying a price. To purchase and then set free by paying a price. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. He paid the penalty for our sin by dying for us so that we could go free, so that we could go free and escape the judgment of God that was due us because of our sin. And so in and through Jesus, we have, it says here, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, of our sins. Now, how big is that? Is that a blessing that we can rejoice over? I mean, that is huge. You are forgiven according to the riches of His grace. And again, we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it by our good behavior. It is His blessing. It is one of His great blessings given to us by His grace. Verse 8, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. And here we have another blessing, the blessing of being on this in this inner circle of knowing the mystery of God's will. God has revealed it to us in His Word. His program in how He will unite all things in Christ, which we will be learning about as we are going to continue our study in the book of Revelation, which we started and we're going to continue on in Revelation when we get back here next Sunday. But God has not left us in the dark. We have a blueprint of the mystery of God's will, and His plan of salvation is laid out for us in his word, which is an incredible blessing. Verse 11. It says here, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. You see how often this idea comes up that we might be to the praise of his glory. It is ultimately all for the glory of God. All these blessings that come to us, we turn back to him, pointing to him and thanking him, because to him is due all glory and honor. But we are the beneficiary of these incredible blessings. Now, we all understand the word inheritance. Some of you may come from well-to-do families where you know that there is an inheritance waiting for you. And you may think, one day I will gain that inheritance and then I will be set. I'll be set for life. That could be a blessing, but that also could be a curse, right? Doesn't always go well. But in either case, it will be temporary. Are any sort of earthly inheritances that we have, they're temporary. These inheritances, they will fade away. You won't be taking anything with you. But the inheritance that the Apostle Paul is talking about here is an eternal inheritance. It's an enduring spiritual blessing. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we read that according to God's great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, it is undefiled, it is unfading, and it is kept in heaven for you. And again, I don't fully understand this. I don't know if you do. I don't fully understand all the implications of this inheritance because it cannot be measured in dollars and in cents. But one thing we know, it is imperishable, which means it is eternal. It won't fade away. It is undefiled, meaning it is perfect, and it is guaranteed to us because God himself keeps it for us. Are you getting a sense? Are you getting a sense of how rich you really are? But are you? Are you? Do these blessings that we have here, do these blessings apply to you? I mean, they're wonderful to read and to reflect upon, but do they apply to you? Are these for you or are they reserved for someone else? Maybe some people that are more qualified. You know, we need to understand that these are not universal promises that are given to all mankind. They're not. These blessings are not an automatic guarantee for everybody. Why would they be? Why? Not everyone is even interested in the blessings of God. Not everyone believes. The Apostle Paul, he makes this difference very clear in the next verse. In verse 13, it says there, in him. By the way, this little phrase, in him, in Christ, that appears 169 times in the Apostle Paul's letters, and it's a significant little phrase, in him, because it is connected to all of the spiritual blessings that are ours if we are in Christ. If we are in Christ. Meaning that we have a dynamic relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Paul says in Philippians 1:21, he says, "For me to live is Christ." I mean, that was his life. And so being in Christ brings about a radical reorientation to our lives, so dramatic that Paul equates it with moving from being dead to becoming alive. That's how radical, how incredible this change is when we come to be a people who are in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says that once we were dead in our trespasses and in our sins, but then in verse 4 it says, but then God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, he made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead. You are saved by grace, it says then. How does this happen? How does it happen? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in him, what happened then? Then you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. How are we saved? How do we become the recipients of God's spiritual blessings? We hear the word of truth, we hear the gospel, and we respond. We believe in Jesus. We put our faith in him. We trust not in our own goodness, but we fully trust in his righteousness to cover our unrighteousness. Have you heard the gospel? Have you heard it today even? No? Yeah, okay, some of you heard it. Maybe I'll have to keep repeating it a few times, but we heard that Jesus paid. He redeemed us, right? He paid for our sins on the cross as he exchanged our unrighteousness and gave us his perfect righteousness in return. He rose again and he's seated today at the right hand of God the Father, and he's coming back. He's coming again to judge the living and the dead. And how in the world are we going to stand before him on that day? How are we going to stand before him? Only if we are found to be in Christ. It's the only way we are found to be a people who are in Christ. And then we have this other blessing here, sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of that inheritance to the praise of his glory. You see, as those who are in Christ, we are sealed as his possession. The Lord has tagged us. We belong to him, and nothing, no one can snatch us out of his hand. John chapter 10, verse 28. For the Holy Spirit is our guarantee. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee. And so it's so true. We are far richer than we think, aren't we? Wouldn't you say? Okay. Peter Daneka, who would later become a missionary, was born in Russia in 1897, and he left his home of Russia as a teenager. He was barely 12 years old, and he sailed across the Atlantic alone on a Russian ship, the SS Divinsk, which was bound for Halifax, Nova Scotia. Now, Peter's mother had packed him enough food for that long journey, but every day Peter looked longingly through the windows of the ship's dining room, and he envied the wealthy people who ate these exquisite meals in luxury. And Peter would then walk back to his little room, and he would eat dry bread and garlic. Terrible. And sometime into the journey, some of the crew members that were not his friends, they made a deal with Peter. They would give him some food if he would, in exchange, would work in the kitchen for them. And so for the rest of his journey, that's what he did. Dutifully, he worked for those meals as he was sailing across the Atlantic. And on the very last day of the voyage, he learned something that he had wished he had known before. He learned that the blessing of all the exquisite meals in that ship's dining room were included in the ticket that he had bought. You see, many of us know that our journey to our heavenly home is covered by the precious blood of Jesus. We know that, right? But do we know the privileges which are included along the way? Do we understand the spiritual blessings that our generous Father has bestowed upon us for our joy and for our ultimate delight, even already today? You are chosen. Your life has great purpose. You are adopted into the family of God. You have been redeemed. You've been bought with a price. You have been forgiven. You have been given access to God's purposes and His plan. You have an eternal inheritance. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit, with whom you have been sealed and in whom you are safe until the day you take possession of your eternal inheritance. And friends, there is so much more. There is so much more. We've only scratched the surface this morning. But perhaps we have made a start today, even a small start, on revising our Thanksgiving list and maybe moving some of the things that we usually put on the top, maybe moving them further down and taking some of these spiritual blessings and move them up to the top. As we discovered that God has blessed us with unspeakable blessings that are found in and through Jesus, that are worth so much more than anything that we find in this material world. We are indeed richer than we think. Would you bow in prayer with me? Let's pray. Our God and Father, we have so much reason to celebrate Thanksgiving as your children. We are dearly loved by you. Our sins are forgiven through the cross. We've been justified by the blood of Jesus. We have access by faith to you, our Father, even through the avenue of prayer. We've been reconciled to you by the death of Jesus. We've been made alive with Christ. We've made into a new creation. We've been freed from our sin and its power in our lives. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We've gained eternal life through Jesus, our Lord. We've been made sons and daughters of God, heirs and co-heirs with Christ, priests and kings unto our God. We've been sanctified in Jesus, made blameless through Jesus, washed in the name of Jesus, members of the body of Jesus. Our names have been recorded in the book of life. We've been sealed, indwelt, and are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We've been made ambassadors of Christ. We are light in this world. We are never alone. We are recipients of your comfort, of good hope through grace. We've been made complete in Christ, and Lord, we know there is even so much more, so much more. And so we pray this morning, Lord, would you open our eyes so that we may see the riches of your grace and the blessings that are ours in Christ, so that we may be a people who, even when we lose all of our physical blessings, we may still be able to say with the prophet, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Amen.
If you would like to learn more about Grace Baptist Church or to join us in person, you can go to www.gracekelowna.com.